Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online. If there's something like you'd like to talk about, a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. That number is the same in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, we're winding down on this month as far as our subject on freedom and redemption. What a powerful subject.
Oh, yes.
And the Bible, I just love how it talks about this great rescue that God has done to set us free from the law of sin and death, but to deliver us into a new way of life. The passage we're going to look at today, I think, really summarizes that well. It's Romans chapter 7. It's the first six verses. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives. We all know that to be true. If someone dies, the law doesn't speak into that person's life anymore. It's over with. That's why resurrection is such a key point as far as the Christian life is concerned. The law has nothing to say to the resurrected person. Why? Because that law brought condemnation and death. Once death happened and then resurrection happened, the law can't say anything more. It's already judged you for all of it, of all of your sins. And that's the good news. So the law only has authority over someone as long as that person lives. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. Now, you know, we know that to be true. We do that. I did a wedding this past weekend, and part of the vows, until death do you part. That's what marriage is all about, a relationship that lasts from the moment you say I do until either one of you dies. And once that that happens, then you're free to marry someone else.
Yeah.
That's what the law is all about. Now, say you want to be released from that law early. Well, you can't, according to the law. You have to stay in there. Now, is the law the problem, or is it the one you're married to that's the problem?
Or you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So if you're wanting to get out from underneath that law, it's because you're not real happy with the mate that you have. So you're just praying that your mate will die so that you can get released to marry someone else. That's what this is talking about. So then if she has sexual relationships with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. Now, Paul is using this to drive home a point. Now, many folks will look at this and say, here's the teaching on marriage and remarriage and divorce and that sort of thing. No, Paul is just bringing an example of the law into this discussion to drive home what he's going to say next.
Yes.
So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So why were we set free from the law of sin and death? So that we could belong to another, and so that we might bear fruit to God. Richard, you talked about that yesterday,
yes.
The fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we've been redeemed, so that we could experience the fruit of the Spirit. But we can't experience that fruit of the Spirit while we're still joined to the law of sin and death. Now, the problem here is not the law. The problem here is the fact that we were married to sin. Paul said in chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master. That was the problem. We were bound to sin, and the law kept us in that relationship until one of us died. Well, sin isn't going to die, so we had to die. And that's what we do in Christ. We die in Christ. Once we die in Christ through faith in his finished work, then we are released from the law so that we could be joined to another. Who's that another that we're going to be joined to? Well, his name is Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we've been released from the law so that we could belong to another in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work at us. So what's the problem? The sinful passions. Uh-huh. What aroused those sinful passions? The law did.
Yes.
And that's what we always gave into. Whenever the law says, don't look at the hole in the fence, those sinful passions inside of us just move us closer to the fence, closer to that hole in the wall so we can take a peek. That's just the nature of the flesh. So when we've died, then that law has no power over us anymore. So the passions were aroused by the law so that we bore fruit for death, but now by dying to what once bound us, that's both sin and that's the law, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now, there's many out there listening right now who are trying to make that old relationship work. You're bound to the law of sin and death, and you're trying to make it be the best that it can be. Well, you're not going to conform sin or the law of sin and death into anything that's going to be positive for you. Why? Because you're going to be trapped in those sinful passions. That's what's going to show up day in, day out. Well, it's time for you to die in Christ, to be placed into his death. And that's what Paul said in Romans 6, for when we have been united with him in a death like his, we will also be united with him in a resurrection like his. So it's time for you to die in Christ, or as Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, for I died to the law so that I might live for God. It's time to die so that you can come alive in Christ and so that you can serve in the new way of the Spirit and actually bear fruit for God.
Yeah.
That's what this gospel is all about. That's why it's always about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just as he died physically, was buried physically, and then was raised back to life physically, we die spiritually in him. We're buried. That old man was crucified and buried and now has been raised to walk in the newness of life. We're no longer married to sin. We're no longer bound to sin by the law of sin and death. We have been released once and for all, and now we belong to Christ. We have been joined to him in our spirits, and as a result, we can bear fruit for God and serve in the new way of the Spirit. Now, let me tell you, that's good news.
Preach it, brother. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and that is good stuff. Thanks for joining us. We'd love for you to join the conversation right now. The toll-free number, 844-322, that's good of the U.S. 844-322-2742, that's good of the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And guys, we're getting very, very close to the registration deadline for our trip to Israel. So for those folks who have don't have the information, here it is.
Are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? February 7th through the 18th are the dates for our visit to Israel. And we've arranged for you a visit that you'll never forget. Imagine the panorama of biblical history, places you've heard about and stories you've read all your Christian life coming alive before your eyes. The Jezreel Valley, site of the future Battle of Armageddon. The Sea of Galilee, where Jesus gathers the disciples. The Mount of Beatitudes, the Jordan River where John was baptizing, Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus asked, "Who do the people say that I am?" and "Who do you say that I am?" The Dead Sea in Qumran, discovery site of the Dead Sea Scrolls, Bethlehem, the birthplace of Jesus, the Shepherd's Fields, where the Messiah's birth was heralded by angels, and the City of our Redemption, Jerusalem itself, the Temple Mount and the Western or Wailing Wall, the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll walk the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha, the place of the crucifixion. And you'll visit the empty garden tomb. So much to see, so much to experience. Israel with Basic Gospel, this February. Are you ready for the trip of a lifetime? The registration deadline is August 1st. Click events at basicgospel.net for all the information. Again, that's events at basicgospel.net.
Just in case you're keeping records, Monday is the 1st, August 1st. That's the deadline.
Yes, it is. So it's time to jump off the fence and go ahead and sign up. All you have to do is make a deposit. You won't have to pay for the full trip when you sign up. You just need to reserve your spot so that the Israel Tour Company can start working out all the details, arranging for flights and those sort of things, and then they will lay out the payment plan for you. So if you want to join us and see the land of Israel through the lens of God's grace and this new covenant that we live in today, I say come and join us, because this really is a trip of a lifetime. It is going to be powerful. It's going to be moving. It is going to be, I just think, one of those trips that will refresh your soul for many years to come.
Absolutely. And again, the registration deadline is this coming Monday, August 1st, and we would love for you to be a part of it. Again, all the information available under the events tab at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our friend Brad. Hi, Brad. Welcome to Basic Gospel today.
Well, welcome back, Bob. I hope you and Lois and everybody had a nice time in Ohio.
Well, that would be interesting. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it's been a wonderful month to talk about what we've been freed from and especially what we've been freed to. And I was looking at some scripture last night, and I tell you what, Bob, you guys do a fantastic job of the commission that Jesus gave us. Besides, you know, making disciples, you have to preach the gospel. And you all preach the gospel, everything affiliated with the gospel. And I'm convinced that since 1987 and hanging with Basic Gospel, has been so much in my life in talking about constantly about the gospel, about the ministry of Jesus, about new creation and who we are in Christ and what this indwelling life of Christ is all about. And I was looking at Ephesians 4 for some reason, and I got down to the, you know, that famous scriptures talking about, you know, the different gift, the office gifts, to apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and such, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And so many people got service down as, you know, giving your time to the church and cleaning bathrooms and parking lot ministries and all these other kinds of things. But I think there's something much deeper than that. Those things, yes, need to be done if you're part of an organization. But I don't believe there's any greater equipping for a work of service than to teach people and to have that heart knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the new creation, the indwelling life of Jesus, who we are in God's view, understanding God's will as believing and that he's in us both working to will and to do of his good pleasure. I mean, that's how people get free. I'm sorry, vacuuming the sanctuary and shoveling snow, yeah, that's going to help, but that is not what makes people free. The message of the gospel is what makes people free. And one more thing before I go, I just want to encourage anybody in New York, New Jersey, and up in that area that's listening by way of internet, go ahead and make your phone calls, because this ministry is still wide open to you. As it stands. And I love you guys, and thanks for taking my call today.
Well, thanks, Brad. I think Brad makes a great point about equipping and what this work of these works of service are all about. You know, we do have our own kind of list of things that we think qualify for service. But really what we need to be equipped to do is to live this life of faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the difficult task. And when we understand that, then some of those mundane things that we do take on new meaning, because there's a different heart behind it. And God has called us to be free in Christ. And that is to extend love, extend forgiveness, to extend hope, to bring light into this world of darkness. That's the mission of the church, and that's the mission that each of us have as individuals who bear the name of child of God. We're ministers of reconciliation. We're ministers of a new covenant. That's who we are. Those are those works of service that we are to engage in. And we become more and more confident to do so as we grow in our knowledge of the grace of God, or grow in grace and in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't do it any other way. You know, I'm a sports fanatic.
Yes,
and I think in terms of sports and all of this stuff. And think about a baseball player and being able to take a wooden bat or a metal bat and swing it at a ball that's coming at you, 50 miles an hour if you're in Little League, 75 or 80 in high school, and 100 if you're in the pros, taking a bat and trying to hit that ball. Well, you're going to do a lot of work of trying to groove that swing and make sure your eye-hand coordination is good, and you're going to constantly be improving on that so that you can take it to the next level and take it to the next level and take it to the next level. But you're not doing anything really different at any level. You are just executing the fundamentals of that particular sport under more intense pressure. Yeah. Well, we have to grow in grace in the knowledge of Christ Jesus so we can execute the fundamentals of the Christian life, faith, hope, and love under the most extreme conditions. This world that we live in is not for us. It is against us.
Yes.
It doesn't want us to live out the Christian life freely and easily so that others can benefit from the fruit of God's Spirit in us. It is trying to thwart that process. So we have to execute this life of faith, hope, and love in a world that is, all about the self. It's all about the love of money. It's all about greed. It's all about thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. It's all about boasting. It's all about pride. It's all about coveting. It's all about those things. That's the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And that's the world that we've been called to live this life of faith, hope, and love in. So we need to grow in grace. That's what this equipping is all about. And we put a lot of emphasis on what happens in the pulpit and all of that, rightfully so, because that's where equipping can happen, but it's for what happens outside of those church walls to enable us to live this life of faith, hope, and love Monday through Saturday.
Yeah, friends, I want to take just a short time here to talk about our email list. What a great way to stay connected to Basic Gospel. What it'll do, well, you'll have the latest information on ministry activities, including a link to the daily radio broadcast. You'll see Bob Christopher's daily short feature in just a minute, and you'll get news on the ministry events and a lot more. So just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at our website, basicgospel.net. Get signed up for the email list, and you can stay connected to Basic Gospel. It's a wonderful way to do just exactly that. Well, plenty of time on the clock. Open lines for you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Had a call from William from Livermore, and for some reason he had to leave the line, but his question concerned pastors who lie to their congregations about the Word of God. Now, we don't have the full context of his question, but what about that, guys? What about pastors who lie to their congregation about God's Word?
Well, that's not a very good thing.
No.
The Bible is pretty clear that Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth, so truth is important. Jesus Christ is truth himself. God is truth. We're not going to find any other truth outside of God or Jesus Christ. So we need to know that truth is important, and the Word of God makes that case for us. The Word of God delivers to us the truth about God. It delivers to us the truth about Jesus Christ. So if we're saying something different about the Word of God than that, then that's not a good thing. We're adding to it or we're taking away from it. It is the only book that we could ever hold in our hands where we could find out the truth about God. So it has to be our standard of truth. If we start trying to say that the Word of God says something that it doesn't, then we're doing nothing more than what Satan did, twisting the words of Scripture to deceive people into believing a lie. And that's not what God is interested in. And for those who do that, those false prophets, and that's basically what they do, how do they lure people in? By taking truth, twisting it just ever enough. So slightly, where it's no longer truth, but it sounds so much like the truth that people believe it, and they just willingly follow. And so that's what Satan did. That's what false prophets do. And that's why we need the Spirit of God to give us discernment so that we can understand and see and recognize those twists that may be coming at us as far as people delivering their ideas concerning the Word of God instead of what the Word of God actually says. There's a great word, eisegesis, and we don't want to do that. We want to exegete, and exegesis is simply pronouncing what the Word is saying.
Yes.
Eisegesis is putting into the Word what you want it to say, and that's dangerous, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And there's an aspect of this, as you were talking. I remember back when I was struggling with what I was going to believe, I was so certain of certain things. And if I ever heard differently, I'd just fly off the handle. Oh, those people are wrong. Well, what the Spirit was saying to me was, Richard, how do you know they're wrong? You haven't studied it yourself. So I had to go into the Word and figure out what it was I believed. And I discovered a whole bunch of things that I believed were wrong. And so I had to lay those aside and allow the Spirit to continue teaching me. And then you find yourself being far less judgmental about the pastors and far more gracious towards them. You know, you get into relationship with them, teach them what the Spirit has taught you, and back and forth. And things change. I mean, pastors aren't infallible.
No.
I certainly wasn't infallible. I'm still not infallible.
The Pope isn't infallible.
No, nobody's infallible.
Yeah, the only one that was Jesus.
Yes. And so truth is worth your life, and you can bet your life that Jesus is true and that what's in His Word is true, but the Spirit has to tell us what
right.
it means.
So here at Basic Gospel, we believe that the Word of God was inerrant as it was mm-hmm. written, that it is the Word of God.
Yes.
It's not the Word of man, that it was inspired by God Himself through the Holy Spirit, that the men simply wrote down what they were moved
uh-huh.
to write by the Spirit of God. It is our standard of truth. So we allow the Word of God to judge all other things instead of trying to judge the world, the Word of God, by what
yes.
the world has to say. So that's what we teach at Basic Gospel. And we hope when you hear what we have to say that you'll actually go into the Word
yes.
of God and ask some questions. Did I hear right? What does the Word of God have to say about that? Because the Word of God has to be the standard
yes.
of truth. And that's what we want to do each and every day here on the Basic Gospel broadcast, is get the Word out about Jesus. Received this email a number of months ago, but I ran across it today. It's from a guy named Frank. He said, I was born again in 1993. I spent almost 7 years in legalism. Frustrated, I decided not to continue with something that was impossible for me to accomplish. Boy, he's just telling the story
sure
of the majority of Christians. That was mm-hmm. my life. I got frustrated, just threw up my hands and said, enough's
yeah.
enough. I can't do this. So I'm going to go and just live the way I know how to live. But that didn't work either. So very deep inside of me, there was something saying, do not lose hope. You will have the answers you were looking for. And he says, a number of years later, he came across our radio broadcast and experienced the freedom that he was looking for all those many years ago.
Yep.
Those are the people that we fight for. Those are the people that you help deliver into the freedom that is theirs in Christ. That's why we ask you to support Basic Gospel with generous contributions each and every month, because freedom is worth fighting for. Help us.
Click donate on any page at basicgospel.net. We'll see you for a study edition tomorrow. Bye-bye.